You know, it's crazy to think that next year will be 20 years since the movie Click came to theaters. Anybody see this movie before? Like a few of you. Wonderful. All right. Well, since you don't know most of it, that's okay. I'll share the whole plot anyway, because if you haven't watched it, you can probably notice that this is Adam Sandler here. Adam Sandler plays a man named Michael Newman. He's a man who, on the surface, has it all. He's got a great job at an architecture firm. He's got a great wife, two young kids. But in reality, he's miserable. He's miserable, and here's why. Because at this architecture firm, he's really chasing for this promotion at work, and he thinks he deserves it, but his boss hasn't given it to him yet. And so he's a workaholic. He works night and day, even when he gets home, and he feels like he never has enough time for his wife or his kids, and it's just always hectic. And he keeps thinking to himself, man, if I could just fast forward throughout life, if I could just fast forward past my promotion, if I can just get to the promotion, then I'll be happy. Then I'll be happy. And then one night, Michael here decides to go to Bed Bath & Beyond. A lot of stuff at Bed Bath & Beyond, isn't there? And at Bed Bath & Beyond, he encounters a guy named Morty. Morty looks like this mad scientist. And he starts to share all his problems that he has with Morty. And Morty decides to give him a gift. And the gift is a remote control. And Michael doesn't think much of it. He thinks that this remote control will be able to turn on the TV and be able to fast forward and rewind TV shows and movies and whatnot. But what he realizes is that this isn't a remote for the TV. This is a remote for life. So, for example, these bad things, these difficult things that are going on in life, like arguments or long work days or family stress or even illness, you know what Michael would do? He'd fast forward it and skip to the next part, to the part that was good. And he could skip to the promotion. He could skip to all these great things at life, and you could skip all the bad things. Man, doesn't that sound tempting? To have a magic remote that you're able to skip the tough stuff and go straight to the best stuff. Doesn't that sound sweet? Wouldn't you want this remote? You could avoid all the bad things, go straight to the good things. In fact, I think that's what our Thessalonian friends who we read about are, I think they would want this kind of remote as well. And they've been talking a lot about Jesus' coming back one day, that Jesus one day will return. And when he returns, things will be made right. Things will be made perfect and good. There's going to be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more suffering. The former things will have passed away. This is going to be a great time. And the problem, though, for these Thessalonians, they want to skip forward to the good life, but they don't have a remote to do so. And Jesus hasn't come back yet, and it's still painful on this earth. There's still sorrow. There's still death. There's still tears. And here we are 2,000 years later. Jesus has said that he's going to return, and yet there's still pain and sorrow and death and tears. All of us wish we had that remote, didn't we? A remote to just skip to the end. And you know, we wish for that remote. And you know, maybe for you today, you know, maybe your marriage isn't going too hot. I don't know. Maybe you're in financial strain. It's just a stressful season for you. Maybe you're dealing with difficult people at work right now, or your job situation is very up and down, very, very difficult. And you just think to yourself, Jesus, why haven't you come back yet? Why haven't you come back yet? Why don't you just make everything right and good again? Why am I going through this? Why can't I just fast forward through this season of life? Can I hit the pause button for a minute? Can I ask you a question? Here's a question. What if God cared just as much about our journey as our destination? You hear me on that one? What if God cared just as much about our journey as our destination. Let me rephrase this for you. There is no doubt Jesus came to die on the cross for our sins so that we might have a new destination. Amen? That is great truth. But you know what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? We read this a few weeks ago. Says, verse 3, "For this is the will of God for your life, your sanctification, your spiritual growth." What if God didn't just care about you just having an eternity with him in heaven? He does care about that. But what if he cared about your spiritual growth along the way as well? And so we're here today, you know, and we want this magic remote. We want to skip the hard parts, but you know what? Today, we might not have this remote, but we have a choice. Every single day, every single moment, you have a choice. Do I choose to be frustrated and discontent with the moment that I'm in, always wishing to get to the next one? Or am I seeing what God is doing right here and now? How God is moving in my life. You know, I think God today is going to bring us back to school. And he's going to teach us things that really only experience can teach. You know, the Bible shares all this truth to us. And, you know, we can say, you know, intellectually, yes, I understand that I'm supposed to rejoice always. I understand that I'm supposed to pray consistently. I understand that I'm supposed to give thanks in all circumstances. But you know what? Experience. Circumstances are the pop quizzes of life. Circumstances will really test you to see what you say you believe actually has seeped from here down to here. The Thessalonians are struggling with this. They want to know when Jesus is coming back. They want to know God's will for their lives. And today, Paul's going to share three simple one-liners. They're so short, so pithy, and yet they are crucial for navigating this life and really following his will. You want to know what those three things are? You want to follow God's will for your life? Three things that Paul is going to share with us. First is to rejoice always. To rejoice always. Now, when he's saying this, he's not trying to get you to just like fake smile all of your life. You know those times where you've like, you know, said, "Hey, I'm okay," but really deep down you're like not okay. He's not trying to get you to disconnect your emotions with the things that you're facing. You're not a robot. But I think when we read this phrase of rejoicing always, we think, "Well, man, that's impossible." And it's not actually, because there's a difference between joy and happiness. We've probably heard this before. Happiness is dependent on what's happening, the circumstances in the moment. They go up and down, and your emotions will go up and down with it. Joy, on the other hand, is deeper level. It's this internal peace and satisfaction that comes from trusting God, even when it's hard. It's a difference. Joy says, "God is with me. His salvation secures me. His faithfulness is with me, even when I don't feel it." And you know what? Satan desires to steal your joy, doesn't he? I heard from a pastor one time that there are three thieves that steal joy. Three thieves. You want to know what they are? The first thief is circumstances. We've talked a little bit about that. Circumstances steal our joy. You know, you're probably a pretty joyful person when things are going your way, aren't you? But what happens when you're not? Are you still that same constant person? You know, I think we think of the big things that often steal our joy. You know, illness steals our joy, financial strain, broken relationships, even loss of a loved one steals our joy. But, you know, I think I found that even the minor inconveniences tend to steal our joy. If you're driving and someone cuts you off, man, it's like you lose your salvation, right? You don't, okay? You don't. But it's like immediately there's a switch, and that switch comes from the circumstances. And it gets to this point that for us, I think a lot of us, we're so wrapped up in the ups and downs of life, we're so carried by them, that we forget the God who rooted us in those situations so that we could grow through them. Maybe you're in a season, a circumstance of waiting. You love waiting, don't you? Love waiting in lines. You just love waiting. Of course we don't. We hate waiting. And, you know, there's times, maybe for you, you're waiting for clarity. You're waiting for a job, or at least the right job. You're waiting for purpose. You're trying to figure out answers. Maybe for some of you who are younger, you're waiting for a spouse, or maybe you're waiting for a kid. Maybe some of you are waiting on a health diagnosis. You're waiting to get better. You're waiting. And the longer that you wait, you become more and more impatient, and we get more and more agitated. We get more and more tired, and we just get sick of it. We want to fast forward to what's next. But what if waiting's the actual gift in itself? You ever think about that? What if the silence is actually the thing that God is desiring to speak to you in that moment? Circumstances steal our joy. But you've probably had people that have stolen your joy as well. What's the saying? Hurt people hurt people. Heard that before? You know, when someone criticizes you or rejects you or has some sort of conflict with you, you know, it stings, right? You don't want to deal with it, right? We dwell on it. But, you know, I think more often than not, our joy is often stolen unintentionally by other people. What do I mean? There's things that other people do or say. They don't mean any harm to you, any bad will towards you. And yet when it happens, it just hits you here. I'll give you an example. For those of you that are on social media and you're scrolling through your reel and you see something that somebody's sharing that's a really great joy, a great thing that's happening in their life, and you think to yourself, not to rejoice with them, but you think, man, why isn't my life like that? Ooh. They didn't mean anything towards it. They're not trying to attack you. But yet, you know, what does Paul say? Rejoice with those who rejoice. And yet, I'll tell you, it's hard to rejoice with somebody when God has blessed them in a capacity that you're still praying for. Circumstances steal our joy. People steal our joy. Things steal our joy. You know, there's been many a commercial that companies have put out that advertise that they have ultimate joy. If you buy this car, this house, this vacation, this dot, 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 then you'll be happy. Then you'll have true lasting joy. And so you know what you do? You buy it. And you know what? It's great for like 10 minutes. And then slowly just fades off. It provides temporary happiness, but not lasting joy. And it's not even just physical stuff either. It's intangible stuff too. You know, it's the same reason that people chase the corporate ladder, that they chase for success or praise, they chase for their self-image, they chase for relationships, because ultimately they subtly believe that those things will be the ultimate epicenter of their joy. If they pursue that, if they get that, then everything will be all great. You know, Blaise Pascal, he was a famous 16th century mathematician and physician, or physicist, excuse me, inventor. And this is what Pascal said. Listen to this. He said that there is this God-shaped vacuum in our heart of each man which cannot be satisfied by any created thing, but only God himself. We search for all these other things, and yet God's the only one that can fill it. You try and substitute God with anything else, all you will find every single way is discontent. And we lose our joy. So there's joy thieves that are attacking us. But you know, it says in Scripture, rejoice always. And you're like, man, how do I do that? If that's a command, then how do I live my life in a way to be able to do that? And, you know, there's obviously some really practical ways. Obviously, God's word and reading it and learning it helps us to level out our joy to the where it we're not so focused on the extremes of life, but we're just constant. And God grounds us in a joy that passes through even the highs and the lows. But you know, I wanted to provide some remedies that along with Scripture, along with prayer, I think there are other things that are great remedies as well. Things that we don't really think about that I think would be really helpful for to share with you. I think one of the first remedies, at least ones that I've seen, people that really have true lasting joy, is that they're people who laugh. They laugh. Listen, life is tough and difficult. And most of our lives, I think our natural reaction is to go straight to the negative, right? Because there's so much bombarding of bad news all over the world, even in our own lives. And you know what? We get so tense and stressed, you know, about life and its circumstances. And the reality is that Proverbs shares a merry heart is good medicine. He shares that these kind of things help us. And let me just share this. You might not think this is spiritual. I would argue against that. Because with laughter, it's not only emotionally healthy, it's not only psychologically healthy, but spiritually, laughter brings us to the point in recognition that even when everything is seeming like it's going down the tubes, even when our circumstances are difficult, it helps us realize that God's got it even when I don't. You know, I've seen people that they have gone through some difficult stuff, and yet they have this ability not just to laugh it off just as a coping mechanism, but genuinely just be grateful and have a heart that even though my health is not good, even though my circumstances are not great, God's got it, and just relax. Laughter. I think as well, you know, we sing songs on Sunday morning, but I think that's huge to have as a daily rhythm for us as well. To play Christian music, to sing. You know, you might say to yourself, man, I'm not really much of a singer, Adam. But can I tell you, just kind of like what Paula and Emma shared this morning, even through the midst of their own circumstances, is that lyrics often give language to our pain and reminds us of God's truth, even when we don't feel it. Music has a way of lifting up our eyes off our own problems and focused more on Jesus and the cross. You know, I mentioned, you know, there's a radio station. I don't know if you knew this. There's a radio station tucked back here right next door. 88.5, 105.7, you can turn to those. It's Christian music. It's crazy. I'll hear testimonies of people that say, you know, I was listening to the secular music and it would always bring me down. It always bring me in the negative. And yet when I change it to Christian music, man, it's like a different outlook completely. God uses this as a remedy to redeem our joy once again. You know, for some of you, you're on Spotify. Maybe it's just, you know, finding a playlist, a worship playlist, Christian playlist, and just listening to it. Whatever it is, I think music is a great remedy to the soul. Ultimately, though, we and this is the key, whatever it is, we need to anchor our joy in who God is. That is the key, because the reality is circumstances change, people disappoint, but God is steady through it all. He's steady. He is good and sovereign. He's working even when we can't see it. And maybe the better question to ask, especially in regards to your joy, is this: God, what are you doing with this circumstance in my life for your glory and my good? What are you teaching me in this moment? Joy isn't about pretending everything's perfect. It's just trusting God in the present. That's what it is. Rejoice always, key number one. Number two, to following God's will, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Now, what Paul isn't saying here is to just be head bowed, eyes closed, and just live this way throughout your life. That would be a tough way to live. I wouldn't want you driving and me in the passenger seat, okay? Man, Jesus, take the wheel if that were the case, right? Right, he's not saying that. What is he getting at? He's talking about this idea of consistent connection with God. Right, it's not this checklist thing of hitting amount of quotas so God God isn't disappointed by you. It has everything to do, just like a good father wants to hear from his children, so our good father wants to hear from you, and he wants to be heard as well. And you know, if I were to be honest, I think most of us struggle with prayer. Don't you? It's tough because, you know, it's busy, isn't it? Life is busy. Life is hard. And in our prayer life is usually one of three things. Our prayer life is either rushed, it's inconsistent, or it's distracted. When we're rushed, what I mean by that is usually our prayer lives are usually brought down to a 30-second prayer before a meal or right before bed. By inconsistent, man, for some of us, to ask you the question, when was the last time that you really prayed, spent like a few minutes and actually just sat down and just prayed to God and asked you that question, where would you be? A lot of our lives would say that we're inconsistent, that it's not on a daily realm. I think for many of us, we also get distracted too, because what happens is that, you know, we really want to have this great prayer time with God. We start praying, and then our phone's right here, and our phone goes off, right? Someone calls you, someone texts you, someone gives you a notification, whatever it is, and then you get distracted, and you go to this, and then you totally forget what you were praying about before. You with me on this? Don't tell me I'm the only one. I know I'm not the only one. We got a bunch of liars in the room if that's the case. But our prayer life tends to be rushed, inconsistent, distracted. You know, sadly, I think with our prayer lives, oftentimes when we do really want to come to God, it's of one of two reasons. One, we're asking God to help us with this big decision in our life that we don't know what to do. It's like we treat him like he's a magic eight ball. You shake the eight ball enough and you get your answer. If you shake God in prayer well enough, then you get your answer, right? We'll sometimes do that. But I think a lot of times we'll come to prayer when we're really desperate. When we get to this point in life where you know, when we have this problem, usually our first response isn't to go to God in prayer, but it's usually to fix the problem, right? Just try and problem solve. And when you realize that problem gets out of your control and you don't know what to do with the problem, then you start to panic and you start to get anxious and then you start to worry. And then when those things happen, then and only then you kind of do this Hail Mary desperate prayer to God, hoping that he might rescue from the situation that you're in. Hear me out. God wants you to come with these prayers, right? He wants you to come with the big decisions. He wants you to come when you really have no clue what to do. But listen, he wants to talk to you more than that. He wants a genuine relationship with you, even if it's the mundane stuff. I've heard people say, you know, why do I need to pray to God? He already knows what I'm thinking. It has nothing to do with what he knows or doesn't know. It has everything to do with having just a genuine relationship with somebody. If you tried to have a relationship with your spouse where you only talk to them once a month, how would that go? It wouldn't go well. God just wants us to have a relationship with you. And So those are the challenges. But, you know, so the question is, okay, Adam, how do I build in this, like, consistent prayer life where I go for it? You know, a lot of it has to do with the heart of really wanting it. But a few tips for you, for those that are really wanting to seek to pray to God without ceasing, just a few tips. First, don't just talk, but listen to. I think a lot of times we'll pray, you know, for the 2 minutes or whatever it is, and we'll go off, say, deuces, God, thanks so much. Hope you answer that prayer. And yet we don't listen back to what he has to potentially share to us. That's not a relationship if I just talk to my wife, but she's not allowed to talk back to me. It's one-sided. Listen, if we're just praying for our own will, man, this is going to go bad. It's going to go bad. And God desires for us to hear from him as well. We need to hear from his words and be able to have this space and time to be able to just reflect on what he might be sharing with us. I had mentioned, you know, the phone thing. For some of us, we are so distracted by our phone. Maybe work is on our phone, and that's why it distracts us so much. Listen, and I would tell my staff this as well. You can silence your phone. You can turn off your phone. The world will not end if you silence your phone for 15 minutes. It really is okay. It is not the end of the world. Sometimes we just need to set our phone aside just to be able to have focused time with God. But ultimately, we need to make it a regular rhythm in our lives. You know, one of the things I've tried to implement, I'm not perfect, but one of the things I've tried to implement is this idea of prayer on the go. And prayer on the go is like this. When God brings somebody to mind, just out of the blue, I stop and pray for them, right? If there's a situation that I'm facing that is starting to build within me this anxiety and stress, stop and pray. If God reminds me of a truth that I really needed to hear that day, stop. God, thank you for sharing that. I needed that. Pray on the go. You know, I always want to put resources in your hands. I want to provide something for you that as you leave the doors that you have something that you can take with you. You know, some of you are prayer journal people. You have a journal. You like to write down your prayers and keep track of them. I think that's a great method. If you're more of a phone person, you can take notes on your phone. But one of the apps that's been really helpful for Tori and I that we've been utilizing over the past few weeks is this app called Echo, ECHO. It's a prayer app, and basically it's green, it's got an arrow pointing up, and basically what you can do is put in all these prayer requests that you have, and you can have this app set reminders for you throughout the day, and it allows you to be able to, it'll kind of have all these prayer requests, it'll have them randomly, and you can either swipe them on your own as you're praying through them, or it can have it on like a 30-second timer for each one, and it'll go to the next prayer. It's just that kind of simple things that we just have in our life. But really, the reality is this. If we want to be people of prayer, we need to create the space and the margin to be able to do it, and we need to be intentional about doing it. And I want you to see the effects of what happens when you're a kind of person that prays without ceasing. Maybe some of you have heard this guy named George Mueller. He was a missionary. I read his biography one time, and he actually had a prayer journal. And he kept track of not only the prayer, he made them specific prayer requests that he would write down, but he would also write the day that he wrote the prayer requests, and he would write the date that it was answered. You want to know how many prayer requests were answered in his lifetime? Specific answered prayer requests. 50,000 prayer requests. And 30,000 of them were answered on the same day or the same hour. Isn't that incredible? If only we were, as Jesus shares in his parable, like the persistent widow that kept coming to the judge nonstop and say, this is how you should pray. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Finally, give thanks in all circumstances. You know, I wish I could just erase this all right here, right? Because I want to do that in all circumstances. I want to be clear, though, too. He's not saying be thankful for everything. He's saying be thankful in the midst of everything. So he's not saying, God, thank you so much for my sin that I'm committing. Thank you for all these tragedies that are happening in the world. Thank you, you know, for all these things. He's not getting at that. What he is saying is, God, thank you that even though these things are happening around me, that you are still God in the midst of it, that I can trust you in the midst of it. And I just want to erase that word all because it's so much easier to just thank God in certain circumstances and not all of them. You know, I think one of the greatest enemies that we will face in regards to thankfulness, the reason that we aren't thankful in all circumstances is because the greatest enemy to thankfulness, listen, is forgetfulness. Your greatest enemy to thankfulness is forgetfulness. So when something happens that's great in your life, sometimes within minutes or hours, we forget that that even happened, or we act like that didn't even happen. You know, I don't think we're trying to be ungrateful. I think just what happens is that God has these millions of blessings that he provides to us. If only we have the eyes to be able to see them. Millions of them, and yet we're so focused on the one thing that is negative in our life, or the few things that are negative. It is our tendency because of our flesh to just go straight to the negative, and it takes intentionality to bring us back to the positive of what things we can be grateful for. In fact, I think there's time, it gets to the point where we just become entitled to the things that we're grateful for. You know what what's the song? The song that goes, God, you give and take away, you give and take away, but my heart will choose to say, blessed be your name. That is an intentional mind shift right here. You don't just naturally do that. It has to be intentional. You know, in our Tuesday staff meetings here at the church, you know, we begin with a simple question. The question is this: what can we celebrate today? What can we celebrate today? And what am I trying to get our staff to do? I'm trying to ask them the question, what can we be thankful for? It's because we'll forget those blessings if we don't spot them and see them and express them and praise God for them. We'll miss them every time. We have to be intentional. And it takes perspective. So with that in mind, man, how do I shift my mindset from not just one that is thinking about all the bad things that are going on, but thinking about the good things that God is doing in the midst of it? Just a few tips once again. First, thank God in the moment. Just like I shared before, just stop. When something great happens or good happens, stop. Just thank him. It's that easy. It changes your outlook. Second, turn negative moments into opportunity prayer prompts. Even mundane moments. Let me give you an example. If I know this doesn't happen as much in Maine, but in Ohio, say you're going to Acadia, right? There's a bunch of traffic in the summer. If you were to go to Acadia or try and come back, and say you get stuck in traffic, right? Everybody loves traffic, right? No, of course we don't. And so we get stuck in traffic, and it's always seen as a negative. But what if we took that thing, that negative of getting stuck in traffic, being delayed for hours, and revert it and ask the question, or at least say the statement, God, thank you for slowing me down. I needed that. Did you see what happened there? You took something that might be a negative or even mundane, something that you didn't plan, something that you wish wasn't the case, and yet God's using it in that moment to have perspective, to be able to see what God might be doing in it. Turn moments around. Third, express thanks to other people. Listen, this seems like it might be more like you're doing this for other people. It lifts other people's spirits up. I think thanking people actually changes your heart as well. I've talked to many employers who will say, you know what, I probably don't thank my employees enough. I hear that from family and friends. I don't tell them I'm grateful enough. And what happens is, you know, you can try and give raises to them. You can try and, you know, do that. But sometimes people are just looking for words of encouragement. And when you do that to them, it not only lifts their spirits, but it actually changes your perspective about them as well. Because oftentimes, our first inclination isn't to look in the, maybe some of you are eternal optimists, but for the realists in the world, some of us are looking for the things that are negative about somebody. And you know what? Being thankful for someone, at least expressing it, it actually reorients our mind with God to say, God, you loved them so much that you were willing to die for them. And if that's the case, help me see what you love and cherish about them, even when I see the flaws in them. Reorients us to think, be thankful for others. Again, I had mentioned prayer journal. You can tack that on to a blessings journal as well, whether on your phone or notes, whatever it might be. But it's just one of those things where you can be able to see God's hand, God's fingerprints on your life. And it's these things, rejoicing and praying and giving thanks, these small three simple statements, that is God's will in Christ Jesus for your life. Now you're probably thinking, Adam, I want to know the specifics of God's will, right? For some of you in the room that are wanting to get married one day, have kids one day, you're trying to figure out your career, I want to know the specifics of God's will. God, I want you to tell me in detail what is going to happen throughout my life. Some of you, even as you've gone on through life, you're trying to figure out whatever the next season might be. God doesn't give us the specifics, but listen to this. God will take care of the details. You don't worry about a thing. What God wants you to do is, with the moment that he's placed before you, with the circumstances you're facing, with the people that you're surrounded with, he wants you to say, in this moment, how can I be someone that pursues God-centered joy in the here and now? How can I be someone that even when life seems chaotic and out of control, God, I'm going to come to you in the midst of it, even though I don't know what's in the next season. To be the kind of person that says, you know what, I'm going through some tough stuff and I'm dealing with difficult people, but God, I'm thankful regardless. That's what God wants to do in you today. That is God's will for you today. Stop worrying about the future answers. Focus on now. You remember, for those that watched the movie Click, do you remember what happened to Michael in the end? Michael has this remote. He's fast-forwarding through these good to the good parts of life, and what happens is that his remote control starts to mess up. And the remote control actually starts to skip things over and over and over, and he's trying to rewind back, and he can't. And he gets to the end of his life, and he sees all those moments, those mundane moments, those difficult moments, were actually the moments where the moments that he was really supposed to be at, and yet he was on autopilot on. He regrets missing those moments, because it's those moments that actually were the moments that would have shaped him over time. He was so focused on getting to the destination that he missed the journey in the midst of it. I'm going to ask the guys, if you don't mind, lights turned down and music playing in the background. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come forward as well. I think the last thing that I would ever want for you is to have this life where you get to the end of your life and you think to yourself, man, I feel like I've been skipping throughout life. I've been avoiding situations. I've been trying to just get to the good stuff, and I realized that all the good stuff was here all along. That's the last thing we would ever want. I know that's the last thing that you would ever want, is to live a life that is just filled with regret and wanting to rewind the clock to face back. Some of you might be here today and you're thinking to yourself, man, I have lived most of my life, or at least life up to this point, and you know, I haven't I haven't been joyful at all in the midst of it. I've just been negative and complaining and just so aggravated with the hand that I've been dealt. Some of you this morning are thinking to yourselves, you know, my prayer life is so, it's awful, right? I don't talk to God. I'll come to him for the desperate stuff. I'll come to him for the big decisions, but it's really a transactional thing. It's not a relationship, and I want a relationship. Some of you, you might be just thinking to yourself, I've been ungrateful with the many millions of blessings that God's given me. I've missed it every moment. I don't want to miss it anymore. Some of you today might just need to come forward and just say, God, you know, I have fallen short in one or many of those regards, but I want to recommit my life now. I'm going to ask you, heads bowed, eyes closed. I just wonder today if there, I never want to assume that people don't really have the true lasting joy that comes with Jesus Christ. Some of you today, you have been so joyless, so hopeless, so just, you've tried all the things of the world, the intangible things of the world. You've chased every single thing, and it just has not satisfied, and you don't know where else to turn. And if that's you, can I remind you? Actually, here's what we'll do. We'll rewind the tape 2,000 years ago, where Jesus comes on the scene, Jesus of Nazareth, and he claims to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world, and he came to save us from sin. Because listen, our ungratefulness, our desire to choose other things over God, that is sin. It is disobedience to God. And yet Jesus came, even in our sin, even though we deserved the punishment of physical and spiritual death, Jesus came to die in our place, to die the death that we deserve. And it's because of his death and his resurrecting from the grave that he not only conquered sin and death on his own, but he conquered sin and death for the past of us. Our past regrets and mistakes, our present regrets and mistakes, our future regrets and mistakes, all of that has been atoned and forgiven for at the foot of the cross. Jesus has come to save you. Some of you today are saying, man, I want to surrender my life to Jesus Christ, make him my Lord and Savior today. I'm going to challenge you today. Whether you want to recommit your life today, whether you are saying, I want to put my faith and trust in Jesus today, maybe some of you just need prayer today. You're going through something difficult. If you're in any of those spots, I just want you to come forward. We have our prayer team up here just to come, and they would love to pray for you. You might be when you just kneel here and just pray on your own, that's okay too. I want to provide a space and a time for you to do that today. So I just want to provide a few moments, eyes bowed, heads closed. Just pray to God for just a few moments, and I'll come back at the end. Father, I want to thank you that in my trying to fast forward in my own life, try and skip the moments that you have for me now, I thank you that you hit the pause button for us. God, I thank you that you rewound our destiny through a Savior in Jesus Christ. I thank you that when we go throughout life, that you bring us joy and hope in the present and joy and hope in the future. God, I thank you that you have taken care of the destination. But God, as we are in the middle of the journey, God, would you help us be faithful to you? God, would you help us be people, because we have been changed by the good news of Jesus, would it lead us to be people that are filled with infectious joy, people that are continually grateful for what you have done? And God, would you lead us to people or lead us as people to become those that constantly come to you in the thick and the thin, in the high and the low. God, I just ask for those in the room that may have professed you as Lord and Savior today, I pray that they come to know that you have come to save the lost like each and every one of us in this room. Help them and help the rest of us as well to live lives that seek you in every single way. No matter what face that we face, no matter what we are challenged with, God, help us in every circumstance, with the people that we face, the things that we encounter, help us choose joy, help us choose prayer, help us be thankful in everything. And God, as we go, let this not just be an encouraging pep talk, let it lead to transformation. Transformation in our lives that continues to stir on with us, that we live differently because of what you have shared in your word. God, help us live out this in everything we do. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.